Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right.
Totally.
Why'd you get weird on me there?
I was smiling like a TV host as if we're doing it on camera.
Well, we're not. Stop it. You're weirding me out.
I'm sorry that me smiling and being happy is weird for you, Joel.
Why are you happy, Chris?
Something really awesome happened this week.
Yes, it did.
Obviously, we're talking about Daniel Bryan. And, I mean, I was going to make a joke there, but I
obviously, we're talking about, God, Daniel Bryan, let's just skip to it.
It's like, forget all the jokes and all the bullcrap, man. Yeah.
Oh, man.
My brain just went full shutdown mode, and just, my giddiness is coming out.
It was a sight to behold.
Yes.
I found out right before recording this that apparently my mother listens to this podcast.
Oh.
doesn't watch wrestling, so doesn't know a lot of what we're talking about. But because of that, I now feel compelled to explain. I was like, surely you all know what's going on. But actually, real quick, Mom.
Hello?
Daniel Bryan, he did some stuff in the ring, and then the crowd went crazy.
Hi, Mrs. Leonard.
That's what we're getting ready to talk about, is the crowd, really.
Okay. So are we going to have to cater this entire podcast from now on to your mom to, like, explain to her exactly what happened?
No, but I just felt like I was about to be like, you all know what happened, and then, like, I was literally just told that not everybody knows what happened.
Okay. Yeah. Fine, I guess.
But what happened, and, you know, I've had a few days to, like, bask in it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there is no calming down for me. Mm-mm. Like, I tried to write my article yesterday, and it was just, I was still giddy about it, and it was just hard to get around that or talk about it, really anything else.
And, well, so here's the thing. That was gonna happen. That's how Daniel Bryan was gonna get out of that match, you know?
Right.
Like, he wasn't literally going to be another Wyatt family member for long.
Or no, and though the crowd probably wouldn't have allowed it for much longer, yeah.
Right, and so, like, yeah, and so he, you know, kneed him in the face, and so that gets the woo that it should get, and then, you know, he does some yeses, and the crowd yeses, but, and I was trying to, like, pinpoint exactly what was so universally beloved, what was so amazing about this moment, and it was that Daniel Bryan was in control of that crowd.
Yes.
And it was... And then the moment, the exact pinpointing moment, was when he changed the pace of yesing.
Yeah.
And the crowd changed pace with him.
Yeah.
And because I went through, like, there's very few moments where I'm like, there's moments that where it's a great moment and the crowd takes it to an epic moment. You know, and a classic moment. And the big ones are Stone Cold coming in to help Mankind win. Punk coming into Chicago at Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
I want to put Ziggles cashing in.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, day after WrestleMania. Yep. And the thing is, like, if you're a wrestler, you're lucky if you get one of those. Not every wrestler gets one of those moments.
Right.
You know, to be at that level. To be at that level, not every wrestler gets one of those moments. And it's a thing where, like, Daniel Bryan got one of those moments a few weeks ago in Seattle.
Right.
And then this happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't... But in all those moments, it was just the crowd going crazy. The crowd voicing an opinion. The crowd...
But it seemed like this was a little bit more impressive because, yeah, we were expecting Seattle to be like that because it's his
hometown, yeah. Yeah.
This... It was Rhode Island. Providence. A crowd that was by all stretch of the imagination was completely dead the entire night. For the most part, they were dead. And then this happened, and it just blew up. Like, even during that cage match, they were completely dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until the turn, and then, you know, he took the jumpsuit off, and then they just went bananas.
And it was like that moment, and there's a beautiful, like, full crowd shot.
Yeah.
And just everybody, like, arms up, arms down, arms up, arms down.
Yeah.
And... You know, and a lot, there's a lot of little things. It's that's how you show your appreciation for Daniel Bryan, his arms up, arms down. Every other wrestler, you just go crazy and you scream. And you wiggle your arms around every which way you can. Yeah. So, It's that there's, you know, you can sprinkle like, oh, Daniel Bryan had a slight advantage of, that's how you show appreciation, is everybody looking unified like that. But he adjusted the pace of the yeses.
Yes.
It was a crowd, it was a out of control crowd that Daniel Bryan had control over. And I cannot think of another instance where that happened.
Right, where he literally had the crowd in his own hands.
Like the closest things I can think of are whats for a heel.
Yeah,
a heel intentionally trying to get those what chants.
Right.
You know, so a little bit of excuse me and don't what me from heel truth. Is that kind of thing. But it happened to a face. It happened like this. Daniel Bryan was in control of that crowd. If he started Macarena-ing on top of that cage, the crowd would have started Macarena-ing with him.
Is that the technical term for it? The Macarena-ing?
The Macarena-ing.
Like the active...
It is, yeah. The verb for to Macarena is Macarena-ing.
Well, actively doing it. Okay. Yes. Okay. Sure. I
feel like it is.
Okay. But there aren't... There's other things that did happen on Raw, and, you know, we would be very remiss to not talk about Punk and New Age Outlaws facing the Shield with New Age Outlaws leaving and, you know...
Exactly.
Allowing Punk to get beaten up. Which leads to, you know, a lot of things that we were kind of assuming would happen eventually. This is just kind of moving towards that. I figured we would have seen something like that a little bit later. They're starting a little bit early, but who knows?
I mean, it's, you know, DX is a heel? Can DX be heels now?
I mean, Sean essentially turned heel against Daniel Bryan, but then again, put Daniel Bryan up against anyone, that other person is probably going to be a heel.
At this point, right now, yeah.
So, it's possible. And, you know, if Daniel Bryan is top, CM Punk is, like, top part two. Like, he's right underneath there.
As far as crowds,
yeah. So, I mean, it's not impossible. And they did was drop to the apron and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much did it for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love New Age Outlaws, like, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think the New Age Outlaws are going to be there a whole lot. This is all for the Triple H storyline.
No, they get a big push around old school Raw time of year,
mm-hmm.
and then they kind of fade away.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have a match on SmackDown this week, I think against Kodust.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of, I guess, solidify the heel thing, or something along those lines. Maybe Punk comes out to get redemption or something. I don't know.
Well, it's all for Triple H, though.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this is making us assume that Punk is going to be facing Triple H sometime in the near future, probably at WrestleMania 30.
Would you put Punk at number two in the number two slot?
What do you mean?
Like, Daniel Bryan number one.
Mm-hmm.
Punk number two?
Right now, yeah. Because, I mean, it seems like Cena and Orton aren't doing crap. So not even my own personal bias. It's just what going on right now, Punk is hotter than Cena because just they got to... Cena and Orton, like I said, aren't doing
I know.
Crap.
And okay, obviously I agree with you when biases get thrown in.
Well, yeah,
I'm thinking on like WWE views, you know, who do they view as the top?
I mean, they're probably still gonna have Cena.
I really think
but Daniel Bryan's very, very close.
I think Daniel Bryan might be on top.
Probably.
I think
as crowd reaction, yes.
Here's the thing. As far as what the crowd, they only could guess what the crowd would do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what the crowd did was probably beyond their wildest dreams.
Yes.
But they still booked the show to end with Daniel Bryan's flying knee and Daniel Bryan on top of the cage.
Oh, yeah.
Yesing to hopefully a receptive crowd.
Mm.
But this is the first episode of Raw to air since the announcement of the network.
Yeah.
There are eyes on WWE that are not usually on WWE. Especially, like, you know, like, business analysis people looking at it. Like, you know, the future of television, that kind of stuff. You know, whether it works or not, the WWE Network and that concept is making a major splash in technical circles, in
business circles,
stocks and bonds and blah, 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 words. But, you know, those fancy words that all the rich people say.
But we have no idea what they mean.
And I shut down and go back to my sticks.
Although, you will be proud of me, I commented on a message board on CNBC's website.
Really?
Week. Yeah.
About the WWE Network?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a guy talking, it was, I forgot, I can't remember the writer's name, but he was, basically, he thought the network would completely kill WWE stock, which doesn't really make any sense, but basically also at the same time completely trashed WWE fans and, you know, threw cheap jokes at them and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, if you think that, you know, the network's going to fail, then fine, give your reasoning, whatever. You don't have to put down people for that.
Right, no.
So, yeah, that was that. Okay. But yes, a lot of those eyes are on WWE that aren't, and this guy on the CNBC website clearly does not watch wrestling.
Right.
Obviously. If he has that negative of a feeling about the fans.
Right.
So yes, a lot of eyes are watching this that usually would not even give WWE the time of day.
Right.
So I see what you're saying, that it is very interesting that they have, you know, this Monday night, the one night where it's more likely that all these eyes are watching more than ever,
mm-hmm.
to have Daniel Bryan in the main event on top of the cage and have that big victorious moment. They're probably so glad that they did. Seeing that crowd.
Yeah, no, this paid off in spades for him, clearly. But, you know, there's a lot of complaint on our side, the grumpy fan, that like, oh, they're not giving Daniel Bryan his due, and do they not see what we see,
right.
And, you know, in the crowds, and we do not see.
There's no.
They do.
Like, yeah, there's no ignoring that.
That's the big thing, is like, they see, and they, you know, I don't know if they're ready to, if they're not seeing it translate into money, or, you know, they're not seeing. You know, they're not ready to pull the trigger yet, or they just need to let this thing happen with, you know, the Orton thing. You know, I don't know. And again, you know, you can credit them with, you know, plans 2 years in advance via Twice in a Lifetime.
Yeah.
Or you can credit them with, you know, making stuff up as the show happens. Both are true to a degree.
Yeah.
So I have no idea how much of a plan is a plan, but they know that Daniel Bryan is getting Daniel Bryan reactions,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they know that. So it's not that they're ignoring it. I mean, maybe it is they're ignoring it, but they're aware of it. They're acknowledging it. They can't deny it. Right. And whether they were denying it at one point, they are not denying it now.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's no way you could.
Yeah.
Really, like. But, and, you know, again, like, give them credit. They did put that as the main event. So they had to know.
Exactly. That, I mean,
they had to know there would be some sort of payoff.
That's what I'm saying.
I think it's probably exceeded the payoff they were expecting.
Yeah, exactly. I think Daniel Bryan was in the main event for, among other reasons, so that there would be a crazy fan noise.
Right.
With new people watching, people who mm-hmm. have not seen.
And to be fair, this kind of causes a ripple effect, in my estimation. Like, I think this gives people something to boo Bray Wyatt about.
Yeah.
You know, this basically makes him a star.
I mean, yeah.
And the Wyatt family.
To not negate, the...
And, you know...
villain that he played. He played a good villain.
And I mean, you know... The one thing that really not a lot of people are talking about is that Usos did win a big cage match main event.
That was what it was gonna be. That was what the big story was gonna be. Usos cleanly won...
Yeah.
A main event cage match.
Probably.
Against, you know, Daniel Bryan.
But they had to have known that, you know, Bryan turning would kind of...
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, obviously, they had that
but,
plan.
But, you know, this is...
When we were watching it, like, that was the comment was...
The big thing.
Why are the Usos getting this push?
Yeah.
Like, nothing against the Usos, but it was, like, kind of out of nowhere. Yeah.
It's kind of a good thing and not really a bad thing, but, you know, kind of mediocre thing. Good thing is that they were in that spot to begin with, and they won, but they also kind of had the misfortune of not being Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. You know?
But that's anybody in that situation. But exactly. I think it is a very good, it's a show of good faith.
Yeah.
That WWE put them, because really you could have put any tag team in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, there's no feud there.
Right.
It was just, the whole story was Daniel Bryan and Bray. So, you could have put anyone in there, and really they needed a tag team that really wasn't locked into anything right now. Which really, isn't any tag team right at the moment.
No.
Except for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly.
So, well, it just made sense.
And basically, you know, yeah, what the Usos can do is, on their mid-card feud next week, is point out that they won two matches in one night last week, you know. That kind of thing. They won a steel cage match, you know. So there's some stuff you can sprinkle into promos there. So, you know, but good on them.
Yeah.
And they looked good, that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
If nothing else, I don't dread seeing the Usos.
And, you know, it wasn't a regular tag team match.
Yeah, I love those.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you can't help but have a tornado tag match
in a steel cage. Exactly.
It's not a whole lot of room, you know, outside the rope. So, yeah.
Yep.
Do you have any more Monday Night Raw thoughts, ideas, comments?
On the events of Monday?
Yes. Yeah. Kofi got a clean win
Kofi over got Orton. A clean win over Randy Orton.
In a long match, or at least it felt long.
Why?
I don't know. Are they giving us false hope about Kofi again? Because every few years, every other year, I should say, they'll give us something to hold on to. Like, maybe they're going to actually do something interesting with Kofi. Or not. This would be that one thing to be like, hey, he's a credible, you know, wrestling guy who doesn't drop out to everyone. He'll win one every now and then.
I mean,
I guess that's kind of
what I mean, obviously the more important part of this story-wise that Randy Orton lost, and in his frustration, he punched out Cena's dad.
Yeah, I think that's what they want us to focus on. But that's Randy Orton's thing. He literally has done that in the past. He literally has attacked John Cena Sr. in the past.
Yes.
Almost the exact same way.
Yes.
So, this is nothing new at all. What is new,
Kofi,
or it feels new, is Kofi actually winning over a top
cleanly
guy.
Winning over the champion.
Yes.
And are they going to do anything with that?
Or are they going to chalk it up, oh, Randy wasn't focused, blah, 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 and just kind of downplay it?
At least
that's probably what Randy's going to do.
Which they might, you know, like, in all fairness, if, you know, there's a story where Randy has to get angry enough to punch out Cena's dad, somebody's got to beat him, might as well be Kofi. Right. You know, and I totally get that.
It's going to be an underdog-type win.
Underdog-type win, might as well be Kofi. Kofi is, you know, there enough, frequently enough, and still credible enough because he looks good enough in the ring.
Yeah.
That it does, it's not Santino beating him, it's not a genuine fluke.
Although that would be interesting.
I mean, that would be interesting, but like, that... That destroys the credibility.
Right.
Of that.
Yeah, that's taking
a okay, I'm far, gonna... Yeah. I feel silly saying it, but that destroys the integrity of the storyline in this mostly naked man soap opera that we watch.
Okay.
But now, you know what I mean, destroys the integrity
to have
Santino win in a goofy comic way.
It would be almost like, oh, I don't know, David Arquette winning your top championship.
Yeah, remember that happened?
Yeah. That shouldn't have happened.
Everybody looked down.
Everyone just kind of looked down and just...
Nobody looks anybody in the
eye. Nope. Oh. Nope. Why? Want to share with what you're giggling about?
I was like, and for my transition, stories that are really bad and I don't like bringing up, the hand bring into... Aww. We do need to talk about...
That was a very... weird way.
It's a weird transit, but there's the three things where you're like, it's the Katie Vick, the hand, and David Arquette was champion.
Right.
Or like the things, three things where you're like, you don't like to acknowledge. Just, they feel like the sandpaper on the heart.
But all jokes aside, we, you know, the wrestling community did lose a huge, giant mountain of a figure. Mae Young passed away. We're recording this on Wednesday. She passed away yesterday,
she passed away on Tuesday.
At the age of 90, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Which just makes that... Because if you kind of do the math, she was in her mid-70s, I believe, when she was, you know, taking power bombs onto tables.
Yeah.
Like, everything about her just shows just how much she was willing to give the WWE, WWF, and just wrestling in general. And really, you know... Probably gave more than she should have. A lot like, you know, almost like Mick Foley, you know, gave a little bit more than they should have. But they always seemed happy to do it. Like,
to do it,
it was probably their idea to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, it's pretty heartbreaking to lose someone like that. But dear Lord, she was a fighter.
She was. Mae Young also, I believe, she has wrestled a match in 7 different decades.
Yeah.
Which is unprecedented. No, nobody else can have a claim even close to that. So,
Yeah, it's, you know, Fabulous Moolah, she, you know, she'll get all the credit as far as being the longest reigning women's champion and all. But just career, just longevity, just that taken into...
Much deserved respect goes out to Mae
absolutely,
Young.
Absolutely.
Unquestioning.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, technically Moolah should be considered the best ever, but I couldn't really argue against Mae Young
either. It's up there. Yeah. Like, it's... You can make arguments for either case, and both are deserving of the title of the most important women's champion, women's wrestler of all time.
Yes.
I can't disagree with either one of those.
Yeah. So, yeah, sad to see her go, you know. But, yeah. You know, she's hanging out with Moolah, so, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's comforting.
So, yeah, rest in peace, much respect.
Yes.
And we soldier on. I guess.
And going from a very important women wrestler to a current diva who accomplished a milestone today, actually, AJ is now the longest reigning Divas champion.
Of all time.
Of all time. She beat Maryse's record, which was 212. AJ is now at 213.
Yeah. Days. And that is, and just to clarify, kind of the way she did that is because she's the longest reigning Divas champion.
Yes.
This isn't the women's championship,
right? Basically,
which is technically
a
different championship.
Basically, WWE coming up with the Divas Championship was a way to be like, okay, we're never going to ever have anyone beat the record that Fabulous Moolah has. That's multiple decades of holding that championship. There's no way in the world they're going to beat that now. So basically, they're like, all right, we're just going to start a new chapter here.
Yeah,
you know.
Which not to belittle it, like
no.
AJ has accomplished something.
I think that is a huge respectful nod to what Fabulous Moolah did. I don't see how it is a knock against them. Now, granted, you know, a lot of jokes have been made about the Divas Belt because that thing does look pretty hideous.
It's an awful design. But you know, and this is also not to belittle AJ and say it's not a real goal, you know, not a real milestone. No, she's done something incredible.
It's weird that the longest reigning champion was Maryse.
Maryse.
Yeah, I figured someone like Beth Phoenix would have held that.
Well,
but Beth Phoenix came close. I think Beth Phoenix went to 200.
Beth Phoenix also had the belt a lot because it needed it for storyline.
Right.
Maryse was a little bit of a placeholder at times.
Right.
When it came to holding the Divas Championship.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but don't be wrong.
You can kind of sleep by.
I really dug Maryse, and I kind of wish she was still around, but that's my own personal bias. But, yeah, it just, she doesn't feel like, you know, doesn't feel like the one that should have held the championship that long. But again, like, at that point, it was like, who else, you know?
Right. I mean, but, you know, I want to say congratulations to AJ. It's kind of slipped under the radar. And, I mean, technically, she hadn't broken that, you know, record as of this past Monday Night Raw. So,
right.
They still have next Monday Night Raw to bring it up.
And plus, a lot happened this week, so this kind of got shuffled under, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, congratulations to AJ. I think it's well-deserved. I think she has done wonders in the Divas division. I think, you know, as far as the renaissance that we've talked about for the Divas division, she's largely at the center / at the forefront.
Yeah. And the fact that she's been able to stay there when, you know, she's not getting nearly as much publicity as some of these other divas that are in the reality shows and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she's still able to stay at the forefront a lot, you know, mostly because of the championship, but also because of her, that's saying a lot. That's really impressive.
I mean, she's playing a chief heel to an entire franchise of diva.
Oh, yeah.
And still getting lots of cheers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, no, it's you know, yays for that.
Yes.
So, yeah. Carry on. Good times, great oldies.
Yep. So, I guess we should move on. Just the Rumble is in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so, we were talking about the Rumble is in a couple of weeks. That leads to a lot of fun times of rampant speculation.
Yes.
Because when you predict the Rumble winner, you're predicting WrestleMania,
yeah.
You know, and you get to predict surprise returns like Batista, who's not a surprise anymore.
Not a surprise anymore, no.
But, you know, you get to predict the fun returns. You get to predict, you know, that kind of thing. But what we wanted to do is we want to take a little bit of time and talk about predictions, possibilities for other parts of the Rumble. So, not worrying about who will win, mm-hmm. not worrying about surprise returns, but the Rumble offers a lot of opportunity because it's such a big match and such a long match. There's a lot of opportunity for little mini stories.
Yeah.
Feuds to continue to crop up to, you know, kind of happen there.
And sometimes WrestleMania feuds begin during the match.
During that, yeah. Stuff that, you know, kind of falls under this category was a few years back when Punk, you know, was beating guys and promoing until the next guy came out. Him and then promoed until the next guy came out.
Yes.
Which was, like, a highlight moment for me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, absolutely.
We got the Goldust Cody Rhodes feud that we never thought we'd get.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, we got to see them go at it for a little bit. Year before that, just, you know, the Mr. Sacco versus Cobra moment. Like, it's a goofy moment that happens, right. You know. And it doesn't have any real effect or outcome on the match. It's like, no, it's a goofy moment, that fun times. So I was saying, what kind of things do you think is now the time to kind of start sprinkling in there into the middle of that match? We were watching the match for an hour or so, you know, not mm-hmm. just for the end, so what else right. in there
what else
might,
is
might we be looking forward to?
One thing to look forward to, and I really think it's going to happen, either Ricardo is going to be in the match,
mm-hmm.
either as Ricardo or as El Local or some other character that we don't even know of yet. He's going to be in the match. What he does in the match, I don't know, you know. Obviously, I think we're going to get, you know, showdown between Batista and Del Rio. I think that's just, you know.
Do you think it's going to happen in the match?
Yeah, as much as Del Rio's been, you know, talking junk. Yeah, he's going to come in and they're going to probably go back and forth whenever Batista comes back next Monday. But I think in the match itself, yeah, they'll find each other. It's very easy to say that Cody and Goldust will start, you know, kind of feuding against each other. I feel like that's kind of a cop out to do that during the Rumble for a tag team to kind of break up or at least start to.
Well, I mean, is this, you know, do you dare to dream that this is leading to
their
WrestleMania match that we wanted a couple years
ago? I believe so, because, you know, I think this year's probably the best chance of that happening, because for one, we don't know how long they're going to have Goldust in the ring.
Right.
Or even on the roster, just in general. Why not now? You know, unless they have something bigger planned for both of them.
I mean, the only reason why not now is because it's WrestleMania 30, and there's the potential for that to be so crowded.
There is, yeah.
There's just not room for this match on the card.
I don't know, I think they would be able to make room for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially, you know, the big reaction that they've gotten in the past.
I mean, that's the kind of thing. We felt like the idea might have gotten scrapped a few years back reaction wasn't there that we wanted.
Even if it gets knocked down on the card, I wouldn't care. I'd still want to see the match.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it would be a mid-card to opener match.
Right.
Like it just would, because of the names that are going to be there. Yes.
Or this match could easily be put in between either main events or championship matches something like that, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's spaces for it, so.
But I still think it should happen, and I think this is the year to do it.
Okay.
As far as stuff actually happening in the ring, I have a feeling something's going to happen with Punk. Either Billy Gunn is in the Rumble match, because, you know, Road Dogg was in the Rumble. Not this year, but the year before, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it feels, you know, now that Billy Gunn is back with the company, might as well put him in as well.
Right.
I feel like something's going to happen there to kind of move that along. Obviously, I feel like, you know, there's going to be something between Daniel Bryan and the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't announced if Bray and Daniel are going to have a match against each other separate from the Rumble. I hope that's not the case, because then the odds of them actually being in the Rumble are kind of diminished.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of hoping for that. Whether or not that's going to cost, you know, Daniel Bryan the match or whatever, it remains to be seen. I don't care. But I have a feeling it's, you know, they're going to find each other in this match at some point. Yeah, and I don't know. Did we want to come up with ideas for surprise returns, or do you want to wait till next week?
I mean, well, some of the stuff we could also look at. The Shield.
Yes.
Is a thing. Yeah. Especially the sprinkles of the breakup have started to happen.
Because they were not in the Rumble last year.
They were not in the Rumble. They had their match with the other guys. They did have a match, because I know they interfered with the Rock and the the Punk match, which is...
I know. But
carrying on. I think they had a match of their own at that pay-per-view as well. But could we get a moment like when the Nexus was out, where one faction has basically cleared the ring?
We could get that.
We have that an opportunity with Shield and with the Wyatt family to do that.
Right.
And
we also have the opportunity for essentially the Wyatt family face off against Shield.
Yes.
Which is something we've all been clamoring for since they teased it, you know, months and months ago. It's a very real possibility, and I would like to see that. I mean, look at all the stuff that pretty much got tried out a little bit at Rumble. Before, I believe it was the... I don't remember which Rumble it was, but it was before the pipe bomb, before anything. I think one of the first two was CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And that, it felt like they were kind of trying that,
that
out.
That was the year that Punk was the leader of the Nexus.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah. And then a few years before that, we had, you know, before any of their WrestleMania matches, the final two was Shawn and Undertaker, and we hadn't seen them do those two fight against each other since, what, 97, 98?
Yeah.
So, Rumble was kind of a weird, like, testing ground. Like, it's almost like they were testing out Ryback last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have seen that, oh yeah, that was terrible. We shouldn't have gone with that Extreme Rules. And
yeah.
And all that's, no.
Do you think Kane will be in the match?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Feels like he has to be.
As Citizen Kane?
Or even throw on the mask and be like, that's his wrestling attire. Like, that is him getting into, you know...
wrestling mode?
Right.
Okay.
It'll be interesting, you know... duality of it.
No, that's cool. I'm up for that.
And, you know, it's even though he's never won one, it's his match, really.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was...
Granted, he's never had a WrestleMania quite like the one where he set the record.
Mm-hmm.
But...
A Rumble.
It's still his match.
It's a big... That's one of the things when the fire hits, when the organ, it's an organ, hits.
I thought you said organ.
No.
Like the state.
No.
But okay. Yes,
when the musical organ instrument hits, that's a moment in the Rumble.
Yeah.
Where that, because that, you know, everybody sells that the way they should, where it's like, oh yeah, this was the guy that eliminated.
Right. Everyone find a corner now.
Yes.
You know, and sit.
Mm-hmm. So, if that doesn't happen, I'll miss it.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll ever get another 40-man Rumble? Do you think that was a one-off thing? And do you think the 40-man Rumble worked?
I liked it. I mean, that's because it's my favorite match of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, I've said this time and time again, Royal Rumble is wrestling's Christmas for me.
Yeah.
Like, it is just...
Well, it is, because each one of those 90 seconds is unwrapping the next present. Who's this going to be?
Exactly, because you don't... It's the one time of the year where you feel like anything can happen and you have no idea what's going on next.
WrestleMania is the Super Bowl, but Royal Rumble is Christmas.
I would say WrestleMania is more of 4th of July. If we're going holidays. Like 4th of July, you know, with all the fireworks. Because
there's explosions.
And everyone gets together for food.
All right.
You know.
It's the Super Bowl.
Fine. I mean, I'm going with, you know, nationally, like, you know... government recognized holidays.
All right. No, I get what you're saying. Super Bowl.
Okay, fine. Whatever. I didn't want
to
be.
I'm sorry. Have you ever gone to work on the Super Bowl day?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I've worked the past two Super Bowls.
Oh well, that sounds like a personal problem.
I know. I'm still looking for a new job, but still.
All right.
Yes.
But yeah, it's that moment of the unwrapping. So do you have surprise returns?
I feel like RVD is going to come back.
Okay.
For this.
It's not a huge surprise.
No,
and I'm not even sure Jericho would be a surprise at this point.
Right. I still don't know about Jericho. But then again, we had no idea last year. No. But if Jericho, I don't want him to come back unless he has a reason to.
Yeah.
You know, because we felt that last year there was not really a reason to.
They didn't have a reason for him.
And it just felt like.
And it was nice to have him, but.
But it was also not nice to just not have him do anything, or not have anything for him.
But his reason needs to become a credible threat again.
Yeah.
Because I'd love him as Jericho, and, you know, I'll watch Jericho in any match.
Yeah.
But he hasn't won a match in, like, 3 years.
No, he hasn't. Although, no, he did beat Ryback on a pay-per-view this year, I think.
Yeah.
Because that was what spurned Ryback's really bad pay-per-view record.
Right. He's put on great matches. Like, let's not do that. And he's not been, you know, he's not lost every single match. But he's so clearly here. And you know, I feel like, you know, this is an ultimate looking a gift horse in the mouth, complaining about an upper card guy actually, you know, jobbing to little guys like they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't want to sound ungrateful that he is so willing to do that, but there needs to be a balance, and Chris Jericho is on one extreme where Hogan is on the other extreme.
Right. Yeah. But going on with some more somewhat surprise interests, mm-hmm. Jake the Snake, I feel like he's gonna actually make it to Rumble this year. I don't know, as far as other surprise people.
Well, here's the thing. Batista was clearly supposed to be a surprise Rumble return.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that it was the way that it was announced.
It was because of the internet.
Yeah.
Because the internet got word of it.
It was because, that they got leaked that he would be at shows after the Rumble.
Yeah.
He is showing up right before the Rumble now, because they went ahead and, everybody knows
might
now.
Might as well capitalize on it.
Right.
At least use it to boost up some raw ratings a little bit.
So I really feel like yes, definitely that was clearly supposed to be a surprise return. And if not, pretend it was for the sake of this question. Mm-hmm. So that was a return of a guy. Batista returning could be they're gonna have Batista win this.
Right.
Like Edge returning, like Cena returning in 2008. Like that kind of like the surprise return comes in at the end and wins it.
Yeah.
So do you think there will be a big surprise to replace that Batista surprise? Like, Jake the Snake's great. He'll come in and... Right. But Jake the Snake's not going to win the Rumble.
He's a nostalgia.
Right. Chris Jericho would be great to come back, but he's not...
We don't see him going into the championship picture.
Right. And, part of it is, Batista's been gone for 4 years. 3 years. Somewhere in there.
4 years.
No expecting him to return.
Honestly, I see this year as being, that where, whoever they had planned win isn't going to be a surprise. Like, it's going to be somebody that we know is going to be, that's in the match.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we'll cover all that next week, as far as who we actually think is going to win.
Right.
So, Sheamus is going to be back.
Sheamus.
He's the only other guy.
Yeah,
as much as we don't want to see
his return.
As much as we don't want to see him in the championship picture, they would probably put him in the championship picture.
Yeah, no, he would be the one to come back and win the surprise.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
As much as it hurts, as much as we don't want to see it.
Well, we'll see. All right. Thanks for that, Downer.
I'm sorry, but,
quick, tell me John Morrison's coming back.
Chris Masters is coming back.
Chris Masters is
Shelton
coming
Benjamin's
back.
Coming back.
Shelton Benjamin's cool coming back.
MVP's coming back.
MVP be cool to come back.
They're all coming back.
So
I honestly could see MVP coming back.
I could see MVP coming back.
Like, I could see him coming back at Royal Rumble. Whether or not it's going to happen, I don't know. I don't claim to know one way or the other, because he's kind of, he's kind of shot people down on Twitter.
Right. Well, I mean...
And, a lot of them just, they like trolling fans on Twitter anyway.
Right, that's what it's there for.
Yeah, exactly. That's the purpose of Twitter.
I mean, but guys like Morrison and Shelton Benjamin are so much there for... Because there has to be that moment. And that moment has had to be Kofi's for the past.
Because who else? Now, this year, though, they have at least Tyson Kidd.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. So there's another option for him. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Kofi, or it could be both of them.
Right.
Do a two-man weird... jumpy thing.
I'll take it.
Right. So, I mean, also, that I'm guessing they could use Justin Gabriel as well.
In theory.
In theory. Whether or not they actually will, whatever. I mean, it's
probably they could use Seth Rollins in theory.
Well, very, very true. but we know what's not going to happen is them using Zack Ryder, Yoshitatsu, or JTG.
Nope. The poor three.
The poor three. Oh, God. That picture that a fan tweeted him on Raw still makes me sad. We if you're following us on Twitter, which you should, follow us at CR Attire. I think I tweeted it myself, and a fan just got a glimpse. They just looked back during one of the main, I think it was the main event, and they saw him in the tunnel just kind of peeking around the corner, just looking like, hey guys, I want to play too, you know?
Just watching the show.
Just really sad.
It is.
Wearing like, not even trying to blend in, like he's wearing like a Zack Ryder t-shirt that's like bright purple.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nah, that's, yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, Zack Ryder. I miss him.
He hasn't gone anywhere, but he's just not on our TV.
But I'd do a little pop for him if he showed up in the Rumble.
And, you know, we'll...
And did something, and you know, not like a Santino in and out kind of thing, but no, if he did something...
He's going to be in and out.
I mean, I'm not saying I hope he wins, but right. I'm saying, like, you know, give him like he doesn't even have to eliminate anybody, but just like a little bit of offense in the ring for a few minutes.
Right.
You know, because that's the other really big thing about the Rumble is nobody has to come out of the Rumble looking bad.
Right.
It's not like a one-on-one match where, you know, somebody has to look good and somebody has to look bad. And you get that rare match where, oh, they both came out of that looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a lot of opportunity for a lot of mid-carders to look really good in the Rumble.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
And not that they don't take it. Like, they do take advantage of that a lot. So, you know,
right, because this is their one opportunity all year to make an impact on during a pay-per-view.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, why not?
Yeah, so, I mean, continue on that road. You've done a good job so far, WWE, but yeah, continue. Yeah. So,
do you have any big surprises?
John Morrison. I always pick John Morrison. Pick John Morrison for the Rumble until I hear otherwise why he can't do it.
Okay.
No, it's John Morrison returning any other time in the year would make people go, oh, yeah, him.
Mm-hmm.
John Morrison returning at the Rumble would make people excited. Not just me, like
right.
Because it would be good, because he would do something weird.
Oh, yeah.
So, a John Morrison return, which, you know, I mean, I would always be like, woo, anyway. But a John Morrison return at the Rumble is different than a John Morrison return anywhere else in the show.
Yeah. I'll agree. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always my go-to thing.
Okay.
I mean, you know, in a rack my brain kind of thing, I don't know.
There's no one really else on the horizon, really.
Triple H would really shock me.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a way to kind of
progress
things with CM Punk.
I mean, there's not...
I did have that thought, yeah.
It's not a whole, you know, it's not quite a surprise return, but it would be...
Somewhat surprising.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So.
I'll go on that.
All right.
Cool.
All right, before we get to that part.
Yes.
We do need to mention that the first inductee to the Hall of Fame class.
Yes, I almost completely forgot. Ultimate Warrior. Yep. It's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it goes without saying that his induction speech is going to be insane and probably incoherent.
Mm-hmm.
And probably laced with F-bombs. So, good thing they're not showing this live.
Yeah.
And they can edit this. They always have the power of editing. I'm kind of more interested to see who would induct him. Because Ultimate Warrior has a very, very long history of burning a lot of bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Although apparently, you know, Hogan is back on good terms with him. So some people are saying Hogan. Yeah. So that could, you know, give Hogan an excuse to be in town for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently he wants to be at WrestleMania 30. Whether or not he has a big thing to do with it,
I mean,
it's kind of... Yeah, he doesn't seem to really care what he's doing. He just wants to be around.
There has supposedly been some saying that, yes, he has been signed to WWE to return for WrestleMania 30.
Right.
In some capacity.
Yeah.
Maybe he would surprise me at the Rumble.
Yeah,
he would. Hogan return at the Rumble?
Yeah.
That would surprise me. There was some rumor that Hogan would be facing Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
I feel like that was started by a fan who hasn't watched wrestling since 1992.
Yeah.
Like, somebody, like,
I was going to say it was probably started by Roddy Piper.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, like, I can very much imagine somebody, like, seeing, who hasn't followed wrestling in years, seeing that Hogan's returning for WrestleMania 30,
mm-hmm.
and they got to think, okay, Hogan's only can only return to face the biggest and the baddest. Definitely Roddy Piper. That's who it is, no question. You know? If they did that, you know, if this is more than just crazy offshoot rumor, the only thing I can think is a nice callback to WrestleMania 1.
Oh, with the big, the big tag team thing.
With Team Hogan and Team Roddy. And then you sprinkle a bunch of mid-carders underneath in the tutelage of both of them.
Fair enough, I guess, sure.
I mean, that's the only... I don't really want to see a extended Roddy Piper versus Hogan match.
No, me neither. But it feels right to have Hogan at 30 in some capacity.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of, you know, nostalgia, you know, rip the shirt, pump up the muscles, do the poses.
Do the ears.
And do the ears, yeah. You know.
No, I mean, he'll I have no problem with him being there.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be there. It feels right.
He made WrestleMania 1. He should be there for 30.
Yeah, absolutely. And with him, with no other ties to any other wrestling organization, why not?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But yeah, but again, I guess this is about Warrior.
Yes.
Of course he'll be in the, you know, that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, last year it was Mick Foley, and I was giddy beyond my dreams, because that if I wanted one person in there, I wanted Mick Foley.
Yeah. I mean, my guy's already in, so yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you know what? Yeah, of course Warrior will be in there
someday.
Yeah,
I mean, just popularity-wise, yeah. Like, really, he's the only one that came close to Hogan.
Yeah.
In that time frame,
mm-hmm.
you know, and basically just became a victim of his own stupidity, really.
Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't for his own crap, he would have had a very long, very successful career.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not you like his wrestling or whatever is kind of, you know, beside the point.
It's hard to argue that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
It's nice that whatever bridges that needed to get mended got mended. So he can come into the Hall of Fame, and he doesn't have to be a posthumane or post, you know,
yeah,
kind of inductee or down the line kind of thing. That's the word I'm looking for.
Who do you think is going to be the celebrity inductee this year?
Celebrity inductee. I don't know. Do you have a guess?
Snooki. I don't know.
Snooki?
I'm waiting for it. I know one of these days.
No, Snooki will be in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know what? Maybe. Because I think she has to stay relevant long enough.
Really?
Yeah.
They put Bob Uecker.
I know.
And yeah, a lot of people know who he is. But, you know, as of, what was it? He was inducted, wasn't the same year as Shawn Michaels?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I cannot pretend to know when Bob Uecker got inducted.
It was fairly recently. It was at least 2-3 years ago, maybe 4. So he wasn't exactly relevant then.
But I have seen the shot of him with Andre.
Well, yes.
You know, and that's really like I'm obviously playing devil's advocate here.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, I have not seen shots of Snooki's WrestleMania match since Snooki's WrestleMania match. And Snooki's WrestleMania match was with, you know,
John Morrison,
who's not around the company anymore, and
Trish.
Trish is different, yeah. But like, also against, you know, Leigh Cool, who is half not in the company anymore.
Yeah, but the other half is, you know, married to The Undertaker.
No, that's the half that's not in the company anymore.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, the other half that's not in the company anymore is...
Is all married to Undertaker.
So it's not like she's in, you know, anyone related to Undertaker in any way is going to be in the good graces of WWE.
I'm not saying she's not in the good graces of WWE. I'm just saying that...
Right. As far as relevancy, yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
Layla isn't necessarily, you know, on everybody's radar screen.
Right. I mean...
Fair enough.
Clearly, the celebrity thing was an idea of we should give this guy... This guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
we you know, but he's not a wrestler. So let's have a celebrity wing.
Oh, well, they came up with that. We
can't fill that up anymore.
They came up with that basically after the uproar of Drew Carey getting inducted a few years ago.
Right.
Basically, it was like, oh, it's the celebrity wing. That's why. Because he was involved in that one Rumble for like 5 minutes.
Well, but what I'm saying is, I mean, they had celebrities. They never called it a celebrity wing, but right. They had the one celebrity each year.
Right.
And Drew Carey was there because we gotta have a celebrity. Who can we get to show up for the ceremony?
Right.
You know, so it's not, I get the let's have the celebrities right. thing. That's cool, and I get that. I'm not against it on principle, but I don't know if it needs to be an every year thing.
Celebrity inductee for 2014, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Because, yeah.
Because he was the timekeeper that won WrestleMania.
That won WrestleMania.
Bam. Plus, I haven't seen him in years. Is he alive?
Yeah, no, he was on, not Tim Burton. Tim Allen's new show.
Well, of course he was on Tim Allen's new show. What else would he be on?
Not Home Improvement, the next
one.
I know.
Whatever the one's going on now.
Yeah, no, yeah. He dated Tim Allen's daughter, and Tim Allen was like, I know you from somewhere, and the whole, you know, because it's like, what the point in...
He just couldn't wait to be king.
So,
so what do you have any other Hall of Fame predictions for this year? I feel like Paul Bearer is going to get inducted this year.
Paul Bearer, will Mae Young get inducted this year? Do you think she'll get inducted next year?
I mean, it depends on if they've already solidified, because I think they try to stick to a set number of people.
Yeah,
it depends on if they've kind of made up their minds for this year or not. I mean, even if they haven't, they still can, you know, move some stuff around and go ahead and put her in.
Yeah.
Unless, wait, isn't she? I thought she was already in.
Is she in the Hall of Fame? She might be in.
She's
the Hall
already
of Fame.
In. Yeah. She's already in.
She should be if she's not. But
add her again. Whatever. She deserves it.
Fair enough.
that many decades, she deserves two rings.
Exactly.
Now, I feel like at some point DX needs to get in as a faction.
As a faction, DX needs to get in at some point. Not yet because they're heels.
No.
You don't put them in the Hall of Fame.
We can give them a few.
And years. Then have Punk fight them the next night.
It feels like Savage needs to go in soon.
Savage won't go in this year.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, he'll go in someday.
Yeah.
He has to go in someday. He's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Mm-hmm.
He won't go in this year, I don't think.
Yeah. I can't think of anyone else to put in.
I mean, honestly, a lot of it is me not 100% remembering who is and isn't.
Who's in, who's not.
So,
I feel like it feels kind of weird that they haven't put Rock in yet. You know?
Yeah.
Granted, you know, he still has matches there and there, but you think of all these other people that, you know, were not as big as him and they're in the Hall of Fame already. Or not as big of a deal.
They will do something with The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
granted, you know, I don't think he's going to be even in New Orleans in that area on that anywhere right. near that day. So.
Well, I mean, there's still talk of him wrestling at 31.
Right.
So, you know, no. But, no, The Rock will obviously be in the...
Oh, yeah, I know. It feels like it should have happened already, you know? Yeah. Even back when he wasn't wrestling anymore.
We should also mention there has been a little bit of revealing that they're going to be making a Paul Heyman DVD.
Yes.
JR mentioned it.
Yeah, they brought him in to tell some stories.
Mm-hmm.
Do some commentary and stuff.
I'm beyond thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of a long time coming kind of thing.
I mean, you know, I put Paul Heyman on a pedestal that only is occupied by probably Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
As far as that kind of character, that kind of manager.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Heenan has a DVD. And so Paul Heyman should have a DVD. You know?
Yeah, no, you're not going to have me argue with you.
So that'll be a day one purchase, I feel.
Absolutely.
Especially the way they're working the DVDs right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, just go ahead and throw that tidbit out there.
Yep.
All right.
What?
Sing your little song.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack!
Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail.
So we start off with the mail sack. I did have kind of ask people about their thoughts about the ending of Raw and what they think is going to happen with Royal Rumble. Neil sent this in. He's like, I'm most surprised that they didn't wait for a pay-per-view to have Daniel Bryan turn back. The optimistic interpretation is that they have even bigger and better things to do at Royal Rumble, and they couldn't find time for it. The pessimistic interpretation is that they still underestimate how over Daniel Bryan is. Which do we think is more likely? I'm thinking, you know, they wanted to have this happen before the Rumble.
Yeah.
To have that moment where they just find each other during the Rumble and just go at it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I said before, I do not think that they are underestimating how over Daniel Bryan is. I do think that they, and I think the signs point to that, they recognize how over Daniel Bryan is. Maybe not how over Daniel Bryan is, because I don't think I even knew how over Daniel Bryan was until that moment.
That random Rhode Island crowd.
So, yeah, Daniel Bryan is that over. Okay. But I think they're aware that Daniel Bryan, so I don't think that's true, so I think it has to be that. Maybe not if they have bigger and better things, but the way they can only get their storyline to work and have stuff done in time for the WrestleMania stuff to start was to go ahead and
pull the trigger now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rhett sent this, and as far as normal, he believes Daniel Bryan will be in the Rumble and have him collide with Bray and the entire family. He also thinks that the Rumble, basically, it'll come down to where Daniel Bryan is in the Final Four, but loses somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, fair enough. That is kind of how I see it going, too.
I mean, don't forget, we still have the Elimination Chamber
in between there.
And especially now with the being one championship. The Elimination Chamber's, we got to see what happens there. So there's a lot of unknown, I feel.
Absolutely. It's really the picture only starts to come in focus a little bit at Rumble.
Right.
Still a lot to go. This comes in from Blair. He says, I've got an artesian well on my property and the water pressure is lousy. I checked the point first before repriming it, and I know that the summer months take a particular toll on the region's aquifer. Depending on the local climate, do you have any suggestions?
It's not warm in Canada. Shut up.
I was going to say, call your super.
Okay.
Just go with that.
Fair enough.
He also said he assumed Jake Roberts is going to surprise in the Rumble, and Wyatts are coming after Bryan, and Punk's getting screwed somehow by Triple H. He has Batista or Daniel Bryan winning one option.
So basically, Blair watched Raw.
Yes. Batista or Bryan winning one option very good, one option very bad.
Does he not like Batista?
I mean, anyone winning that's not Daniel Bryan at this point is a bad thing.
Okay.
Unless you're CM Punk. We could make an argument for CM Punk.
Okay.
Everyone else, yes, bad thing. Bad, bad, bad.
Really? All right.
Yes.
If you guys say so. Apparently I'm going to have to be devil's advocate and be okay with Daniel Bryan not winning the Rumble.
Mm-hmm. It's cold in Canada. Is that your official answer for the artesian well
yes, question? Yes, it's cold in Canada.
Okay.
You shouldn't have problems with warmth.
Fair enough.
I mean, okay. Here's the thing with Daniel Bryan winning.
Okay.
It's John Cena winning last year. It's the thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, no. And it's not that because I want Daniel Bryan to win this year and I don't care about Cena winning last year.
Right.
But I don't want to sit through a whole Rumble knowing how it's going to end.
Right.
I don't want to sit through Rumble through Mania watching the pieces fall into place that I saw, you know, months in advance.
Right.
And right now that's Bryan winning, because Bryan has to win, because how do you not have Bryan win this because it's so clear of the story that you want to tell?
Yeah.
And I get that, but I don't want that.
Agreed, yeah.
And
it makes sense.
And to me, I would be willing to sacrifice a Daniel Bryan victory at the Rumble to go, oh, wait, what's happening now? I gotta what?
Right.
You know? And this doesn't even mean Daniel Bryan won't be in the championship match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, because again, we have Elimination Chamber.
They could move the title on SmackDown. Like, it's a
scripted TV show where they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can do what we want here, but I want something crazy and off the wall. And
right, you regardless of who is going to win it, you want something that you didn't predict.
Yes, but more so this year because of last year.
Okay.
And
in the past couple years, really, was...
And because I'm a little worried because it's 30 and 30 is so big that there's going to be some playing it safe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, Daniel Bryan will be prominently displayed on Mania because the crowd.
Yeah.
Unless something drastically disparaging happens between now and Mania, Daniel Bryan will be prominently displayed in a well-advertised, publicized feud. It might not be for the championship, but it will be something that we are all very invested in.
Something very substantial.
Will come late in the card.
Yep.
And we'll put on a potential match of the night.
Yeah.
So, because of that, I am not super concerned about Daniel Bryan having to win the Rumble.
Right. Okay. I mean, you kind of made me feel a little bit okay if Daniel Bryan doesn't win.
That's what I'm here for, buddy.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Now, as always,
yes.
You can follow us every week. Well, you can follow us every day, actually.
Yeah.
On Twitter, at CR Attire. But one of the benefits of following us every day is that we live tweet all appropriate Mondays, which is all of them, and appropriate Sundays, which is some of them.
And I'm also, I just want to throw this in real quick. I am thinking about possibly doing a live, I'm going to call it a Let's Watch.
All right.
Where we just get together. I provide a stream of some sort of wrestling show that we will watch together. And we'll live tweet it. And we'll talk about it. And we'll have some fun. Just like we live tweet Raw.
Right.
So I haven't finalized exactly how we're going to do that yet, but I'm just putting that out there because it's on the horizon and I want to do it soon.
Alright.
Because I think it's going to be a ton of fun. But jumping back on the script, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. Fill out the mail sack and we will absolutely answer your questions.
We are also on iTunes, so please look us up on iTunes, give us a rating of
5 stars,
or give us a review. Either of those, both of those, it would greatly help out the show. It would help out you. It would be wonderful for the whole family.
And if you are listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. While you're there, go ahead and check out some of the other columns. I've got some columns. Joel's got some columns. We all got some columns.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah!